Sandow.com.
My name is Damian Sandow, and I am here to help all of you. As your intellectual savior, I can no longer stand idly by and watch as you, the unwashed masses, plunge further into the bowels of your own inadequacies and shortcomings.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
No, no, no! This is supposed to be about me! This was supposed to be the greatest night of my life! And not only will I be the champion, but I will be the face of the WWE!
Featuring Sir Rockin.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Behold the King. The King of Kings. There is only one. Time to play the game!
If it wasn't clear before tonight, it is clear tonight. The Triple H movement is in full effect. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented always by PW Mania and MemLanePromo.com. I am, of course, Sorokin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Oh, I think full effect is just doesn't quite describe what he did tonight. What Steph and Hunter did. Good Lord, tonight was amazing.
Oh, we have so much to get into tonight here on the post show. And we're going to start with Steph McMahon coming down to the ring. She said, Brian will not be here, unfortunately. Steph said, you know, she agrees with the people on social media who say they went too far last week, but they need to send a message to Brian and the rest of the locker room that they will not tolerate insubordination. She said they will not allow a passing fad to create a false leader that will lead to self-destruction. Stephanie continued about focusing on leadership and the burden of the responsibility, and then the fans chanted for some guy, which went 5 seconds, and they were spent. Stephanie then called her husband, Hunter, as the greatest superstar in history, who will go on to become the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion at WrestleMania. And this brought out Randy Orton. And, well, Orton says he's not out here to disrespect Stephanie and Hunter, but things will be different if Hunter beats Bryan at WrestleMania. Stephanie pointed out when Hunter beats Bryan. The fans chanted for Daniel Bryan, so, well, Steph interrupted and said, he won't be here, so sorry, you know. Stop, you know, basically you're chanting for a guy who's not going to be here, so it really doesn't matter. Orton continued that he can't be held responsible for what he does to Triple H at WrestleMania. He told Steph to make sure Hunter leaves Mania winner by just facing Bryan. Only. Basically, this brought out Batista, who, well, said this, everyone's driving him crazy. Everyone's missing the big picture that he's the next World Heavyweight Champion. The mic started to break up. And then, well, he started to, well, have some words for one. Stephanie McMahon.
I respect Hunter very much. You know this. But the fact is that he has never beaten me. And if he makes it to the championship match at WrestleMania, he won't beat me there either. And neither will you. You make me sick. You're coming out here 1 week, sucking up to Triple H. You come out here the next week, sucking up to her. You lean in a little closer, just drool all over her a little more. I mean, I hate to break your heart, but I think Steph's been drooled on before. Actually, I think Steph's been drooled on a lot.
Dave, I just have...
Whoa! Whoa!
So, Batista, you got me to pop. Yeah.
Dave. Oh, Dave.
Alright, that was a great line. Not gonna lie, that was good.
It was a good line, but I was like, oh, that's so not PG, because if you know what he meant, well...
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sorry, that was an appropriate response from Stephanie.
It was. But, Lindsay, if we think about this correctly, since we've been doing a lot of watching of the WWE Network, she has gotten around a little bit. There was Taz, and then marrying Hunter, and then marrying The Undertaker.
No. Taker had her first.
Right. Well, yeah. Taker, Taz, and then Hunter.
Get it right.
All right, but, you know, I wasn't going in order. I was just saying, you know, there was all of them. So, you know, it was accurate.
Yeah, but she... And then there was Angle.
There was Angle.
And Jericho.
And they were just business partners, remember that.
And I think that's it. I think once she settled down with Hunter in real life, that kind of stopped. But, yeah.
She did make out with Eric Bischoff once.
Ew. That doesn't count.
And then
we're not counting that. And then
she rode the big bad booty daddy, Scott Steiner.
Okay, we need to stop. No, just go. Just move. I don't want to think about this. Just move on.
Great opening segment.
Oh, this was fantastic. I loved Orton losing his shit. At Stephanie slapping Dave.
Yeah, Orton lost his shit and then got speared by Batista. It was tremendous. Great stuff.
And then Batista ripped his pants.
He bent down to get the title belts. That's where I think everyone's figuring it happened. Because then they never shot his, you know, backside again from that point on.
Yeah, it either happened in the spear or it happened when he bent down to get the titles or a combination of both. But yeah, It was a nice opening segment. It's a good way to continue the heat on the feud because it's like, you know, obviously you used Hunter later. Mm-hmm. So you have Dave insult Hunter's wife. Well, that's not going to sit well with Hunter. And that could lead to something between them down the road.
Yes, it could. So our opening contest is a number one contender's fatal four-way for the shot at Big E's Intercontinental Championship tomorrow night on WWE Main Event on the network. Sheamus, Ziggler, Christian, Del Rio. It was sloppy to start, but after they came back from break, great.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It was a little sloppy at the beginning, but it's kind of like they did settle into it, and they hit some nice spots, especially towards the end of the match, obviously.
Ziggler came in with a house of fire towards the end of the match. He hit a super X-Factor from the top rope, got to a two count. Christian caught Ziggler in a sit-down powerbomb. Sheamus almost hit the bro kick on Christian, but got cut off by Del Rio. Del Rio hit the arm breaker. Sheamus powered out, only to take a zigzag from Ziggler, and out of nowhere, Christian hit the kill switch on Ziggler for the victory. Big E came in after the match, trying to extend the hand, but Christian smirked and walked off. So it's Christian and Big E tomorrow night on Main Event for the Intercontinental Championship.
Christian, don't be a jerk. Just don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
That's what we learned. Don't be a jerk.
Just play nice with the other children. It's really not that
hard. But Christian doesn't like playing nice with some people.
Well, he needs to learn. Okay?
Speaking of not playing nice, Bray Wyatt showed up on the screen. He's got the whole world in his hands. Bray sort of basically said, he said all the, he could see him on all the billboards, merchandising, everywhere. Wherever he is the way, and he stands behind beyond time. Basically, he used the line, basically, you can't kill what you... What was the exact line? I can't remember exactly. This
you can't kill what doesn't feel or something to that effect.
Something to that effect, yeah. That was, like, yeah. I'm going to find the line here because I wrote it down on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. But yeah, again.
You shameless shill, you.
I know, right? But no, Bray Wyatt cut an amazing promo on Raw. It was a nice start to what is to come between with Bray Wyatt, because later in the show, Luke Harper is in action against John Cena. Yeah, Bray asked, what can you do to harm something that can't feel? That was the line. That was a tremendous line.
Oh, it was a great line. The whole promo was great. I mean, he's doing a tremendous job at getting into Cena's head, playing mind games, and really dissecting Cena's character as a person. And since Cena's character is him, really dissecting Cena as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Bray is obviously getting into Cena's head, but what was equally nice about this promo was not only Bray, but Luke, too.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they're letting Luke start to get promos and talk a little bit more.
Right.
That's nice.
It really was. So, good stuff all around from Bray Wyatt, and, well, the best is yet to come.
Uh-huh.
But now, we're going to take it back a trip down memory lane.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We need some
out help. Out came the mystery machine, Scooby-Doo and Sin Cara.
Am I the only one that popped for Scooby and the Mystery Machine? Like, I was so excited for this.
That was pretty cool. I love Colt trying to sing this song. It was great.
I mean, it makes you smile when you see the Mystery Machine in Scooby-Doo. I mean, it really does. If you watch the show and you're a fan of the show, it makes you smile, I should say. But yeah, it's a shameless plug for the movie, but you know what? It wasn't the only one on the show tonight.
No, it really wasn't.
And I was super excited to see Scooby-Doo on Raw. Because it's like, holy crap, it's Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And Sin Cara with Scooby-Doo beat Damien Sandow.
The only thing they needed was to find a guy to dress up as Shaggy.
That would have been good.
Because it's like, who drove the Mystery Machine? And they're like, Shaggy, well, it must be Shaggy. It's like, Shaggy doesn't drive. Shaggy's too high to drive.
No, did you not hear who they said? It was El Torito.
Well, I heard they said El Torito too, and that it's the Brooklyn Zoo. I heard that line.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, somebody first said Shaggy. It's like, Shaggy doesn't drive the van. He's too damn high. Have you never watched this show?
I don't think they have.
No, I think Cole has.
Cole has, because he was singing the song, yeah.
He was singing the song, so... But yeah, Shaggy doesn't drive. They don't let Shaggy drive. They know better than that.
Yeah, they do. So, yeah. Once again, Sin Cara beat Damian Sandow.
I felt bad for Sandow in this, because it's like, obviously he, you know, he was the sacrificial lamb. So, but it's something of, somebody's got to do it, and at least we got to see Sandow on TV, so that's always a positive, but hopefully they start doing something with him soon.
Correct. We'll see. We'll wait till after WrestleMania. Let's see. Up next, we have Los Matadores versus Curtis Axel and the Ryback. This match really didn't get much of time because out came the Shield, and they stood in the crowd and distracted Rybacksel, and Los Matadores rolled up for a win.
Ooh, they were pissed.
And then, well, they destroyed Rybacksel, got a spear to Ryback, Roman tossed Axel around on the outside, and then the boys hit the triple powerbomb to Ryback in the center of the ring with their fists together. Yeah, the Shield was pissed tonight.
The hounds were on the loose.
That's a good way to put it.
And you know what? Hey, Ryback, that's how you kick somebody's ass and look badass while doing it. Just pointing that out.
Right. We then go to the ring for a interview with Michael Cole and Triple H. Cole asked Hunter how he could justify the attack last week, and Hunter said the question is confusing because if he wants to answer as a COO or, well, a wrestler, and, well, that's where the whole thing sort of gets a little foggy, as it were. And then, well, take a listen.
Daniel Bryan asked for the game. Daniel Bryan stood out here. How many times did I tell Daniel Bryan I didn't want to fight him? How many times did I say I was not going to step into the ring with him? But he forced the issue. They forced the issue. They forced my hand and made me become a competitor. And then they got exactly what they asked for. And Daniel Bryan got exactly what he deserved. And now you're all gonna cry about it, right? What happened to this world, Cole? Huh? What happened to this world since I stopped competing full time in this ring? Because I used to stand in this ring and I used to do despicable, horrible things to people. And I looked out into their eyes and I would look out and I would see that same lust for success that I had. I would see that same burning desire that I had. They would fight. They would fight the system. They were strong. You know what I see when I look out there now? I see apathy. I see soft. I see pathetic. I see a bunch of little people with no power, no desire. When they don't get what they want, they cry about it. When they don't, you know, I know. Why don't you guys send me a tweet and express your displeasure? How about that, huh? Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Well, you know what, Cole? I'm sick of it. I'm sick to death of the whole thing. The world has changed and I can't take it anymore. So you know what? Maybe it's on me to change the future. Maybe it's on me to decide where this whole thing goes. Maybe I start the reality era. Maybe as of right now, this moment, this is the beginning of the reality era. And you know what that means, Cole? It means the reality is this. At WrestleMania, I end Daniel Bryan's little supposed run at the top. At WrestleMania, the reality is I end this pathetic yes movement. The reality is at WrestleMania, when I'm done with that, I'm going to step into a triple threat match. And no one living off of their past glories is going to stop me, and no one living off of their untapped potential is going to stop me. Because, Michael, the reality is I have the power to make it happen, and they all know it's true. The reality era means that the reality is I am going to walk out of WrestleMania as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Like I said, the Triple H movement, full effect.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
I'm sorry. Hunter is such a fantastic asshole. He really, truly is. This was Hunter at his best. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, at his best. Just being condescending, being a jerk. The line about the tweet was amazing.
Yeah.
Or it's basically he said, screw you, to the IWC, which was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is great. You see Hunter fully drunk with power. Steph is fully drunk with power. Kane is as well. You're seeing the authority now blatantly abusing their power. They're doing a wonderful job of setting things up for a revolution in the company where somebody's going to stand against the authority and somebody's going to take them down. And the question is, who is that person going to be? Is it going to be the Shield? Is it going to be Daniel Bryan? Is it going to be the Wyatt family? Who is it going to be? But they're doing a beautiful job of building this atmosphere where something, a storm is coming.
And they are also doing a fantastic job of making it believable that Triple H has a chance at beating Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I have to say that one of the things that made me happy was that they did go ahead and hold Daniel Bryan off of Raw to sell the beating. And that they had him put out that he's not medically cleared to be there.
He got re-injured at the house show last night.
Yeah, that was a good call. Because it sells the beating even more. It shows, you know, the authority in full control. And so it's something of, you can have Daniel Bryan show up next week. You have that final confrontation between Hunter, Bryan, and Steph to drive home the match for WrestleMania.
Triple H is selling two matches in one.
And doing it well.
He's doing it fantastically. And that's all you can ask. Once again, Triple H movement. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Cody Rhodes versus Fandango. The highlight was Gotha's mocking Summer Rae.
Oh, God. I need a gif of that. That was tremendous.
Mm-hmm. That was great. Cody Rhodes won after Summer fell down and he was distracted, then Cody rolled up for the win.
So could this lead to some tension between Fandango and his main squeeze?
It may.
Coming to Total Divas near you.
Exactly. Check out the Rack Extra Total Divas special number 2 coming this Friday at rackradioshow.com and wildtalkradio.com. Shameless.
You are so shameless.
I know. Hulk Hogan comes down to the ring, brother, and tells us we're 13 days away from WrestleMania and in this city. Well, in this city, not this borough, but in this city, in New York. He tagged it with Mr. T at WrestleMania 1. And he's excited about the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, but he's so excited for the stars of Sabotage, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Joe Manganiello. I think I got it right. Manganiello.
I don't know, but I think the general consensus of this is nobody could say the dude's name, and as far as everything I saw, every girl out there wanted to just, like, hit it and hit it hard.
But Arnold was there in full effect. He had the great pleasure inducting Bruno Sammartino in the WWE Hall of Fame last year. Today he stands in the ring with another hero, Hulk Hogan. Arnold noted Hogan's biceps, triceps, and pecs, and then shouted out to Joe, who went for a cheap prop too, so people knew who he was. Arnold then asked a question. He said the Andre the Giant was one of his favorite wrestlers of all time. Hogan said that was, the respect was mutual. Andre then asked Hogan if there's room for two more athletes in the Battle Royal. Out came the Miz. Miz walked on the stage and, well, was really? You two in the Battle Royal? Really? Really? Fans were chanting. Yes. 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 He says, you know, he's going to watch The Sabotage on Friday, but that's just acting. He, you know, he was in, you know, hope you all saw me in the Bounty, Christmas Bounty and Marine 3. Homefront. We talked to him about it. RockRadioShow.com. He said they play tough guys, but where he's the opposite. I'm a tough guy. And I do acting, little acting on the side. He vows to win the Andre Memorial Battle Royal. Hogan then responded that Miz needs a wake-up call, but he's in Hogan country. Miz responded that he's the most must-see WWE superstar of all time. He claimed that people are still talking about him defeating John Cena at WrestleMania 27 in the main event.
You must have seen my tweet.
You must have seen your tweet. Miz then told all three that they don't belong here. Hogan was dropped the mic ready to fight, but then Joe Manganiello stepped in and, well, told him to make them leave. Miz smirked, Miz started to leave, turned around, go for a right hand, blocked, got punched in the chest. Arnold then bitch slapped him, and then Hogan tossed him over the top rope to the floor. Fun little segment.
Oh, this is a good segment. Yeah, I'm not much one for these type of things, because obviously I was way more excited for Scooby-Doo than I was to see these two, but it was something of, this was well done, it helped to put the Battle Royal over, which is what you want, you got Arnold and the other guy out there to show their movie, it did everything that it needed to do, and this was just, it was a nice little segment. By the way, the brother count was apparently 5.
There you go. Let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something, maniacs. What you gonna do? Anyway.
But, you know, and it was a nice use of them, because you had them out there for 5-10 minutes max, and that's all you really needed for them to be.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And so far, since Hogan's been in WWE, they've used him in nice little roles.
They've used him sparingly, which, thank you for me, because I'm not a Hogan fan, not by a long shot. Not because I don't necessarily like him, but because I've had to recap his promos for TNA for over a year, and oh my god, that man's speech is just horrible.
Yeah.
So.
But they've used him in nice roles, promoting the network, promoting WrestleMania, doing a great job as the guest host.
Yes, yes, he is.
Still to come tonight, The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar face to face.
When?
Later.
No, now!
Later.
I just sat through Hogan. Now!
Later.
Oh.
Gotta wait.
No. I don't want to wait.
You gotta go through Big Show versus Titus O'Neil. Big Show won.
Yay.
Big Show, once again, is the odds-on favorite to win at WrestleMania in the Andre Memorial Battle Royal.
Well, yeah, of course he is. He's one of the biggest guys going into the match.
Right. Backstage, Stephanie was shown adjusting Hunter's suit, and then in walked the Shield, and, "Hi, guys," Hunter said. Rollins spoke first, that he wants to know where Hunter was Friday on SmackDown. And then Dean asked, where do they stand? Hunter was blowing off that their issue is not with them, but with Kane and the Outlaws. Stephanie then said, you know, to make up for it, we'll put you in a match with the Real Americans tonight, and then we can sit down and talk things out. They seem to be on the same page right there. And they're right. Their issue is not with Triple H. It's with Kane.
It is, but, well, Kane showed exactly how replaceable the Shield is.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously, Hunter and Steph are distracted with other things at the moment, a.k.a. Daniel Bryan in a title match, so it's something of Kane's going to seize that power that he has as the director of operations, which we're finally seeing him do, and he's using it to his advantage, which mm-hmm. is great to see.
Mm-hmm.
That Kane actually does have power, he does have authority, and he can use it.
Correct.
And he can use it against people, and it's something of, he knows his place in the authority, but at the same time, he's going to take advantage of.
Right. So, now, like before any big matchup, a superstar...
Well, I have one more thing, sorry.
Go ahead.
I love how Dean was cradling the title.
Yes, yes, he was. So, as I was saying, like any superstar would before any big, big matchup on Monday Night Raw, they go to the bathroom and they wash their hands and face. So John Cena did that. As he was doing so, something appeared, Lindsay.
He did the mirror trick.
So, as Cena was washing up, a looked like Eric Rowan's head appeared in the mask. It was tremendous.
I have been waiting for them to do this with the Wyatts. Waiting for this. Taker used to do this kind of crap all the time, and then they had him, he went away and they stopped doing it, or when he was still there, he kind of stopped doing it. But the Wyatts are playing some heavy duty mind games with Cena right now, and it's amazing to see.
Which leads us to Luke Harper, John Cena. Great match.
Great match. Much better than the one on SmackDown, and that's mainly because they got way more time.
Luke dominated the fan. Like, when the Wyatts just appeared and did their entrance, you heard the fans clapping along.
Yeah, Wyatts be over in New York.
We
in
had,
Brooklyn, particularly.
We had a let's go Harper.
I'm not really surprised about it, but I am, because that's Harper's home turf.
Mm-hmm.
So he used to wrestle there. You know, that's where he got his start. So I'm not really surprised that Harper was over, but at the same time, that's the first time you've heard anybody really chanting for one of the Wyatts.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice that Luke got that the Wyatts had the fan support. Luke Harper trended worldwide on Twitter.
Yes, we also had a Fruity Pebbles chant.
We also had a Fruity Pebbles chant, we did.
So it also sounded like we had a Let's Go Harper, Harper Sucks chant as well. I can't confirm that one. But that's what it sounded like.
That's what it sounded like, but I'd have to listen to it again to hear it for sure, which I'll listen to it when it obviously comes on after we're done. But, yeah, this was really, really well done. You had Bray, who was positively giddy, pretty much the entire match. He was watching it with vested interest. Rowan was a good little son and just, you know, stayed by his dad's chair during the match.
Mm-hmm. Harper was aggressive. Harper countered a lot of Cena's comebacks. But then Cena makes his full comeback, get Luke Harper up for the AA. Lights go out, you hear beating happening, and then the screen comes back on, lights come on. John Cena is tied up in the ropes with the mask on.
Okay, now, the screech left me a little confused
mm-hmm.
when they first did it, because I'm sitting here and I'm like, does it work if they're already out there?
Apparently it does.
Apparently it does, because it's like it screeches, and then you just see black, and you hear the beating going on, and it's like, oh, well, somebody's getting involved in this. And then it's like when it comes back up, you see Cena in the ropes in the lamb mask, and it's just like my jaw just hit the floor. I'm like, holy crap.
That was good.
That was amazing.
I like that. That was really good. And you had the fans chanting, this is awesome, this is awesome. And then Bray said, follow the buzzards.
Well, no, he said, you know, looking at Cena in the mask, this is your true face.
Mm-hmm.
And he just laughed. Bray was enjoying this. You could tell. You know, he gets behind Cena to do the follow the buzzards. You have Eric and Luke curiously staring at Cena. This was well done. This was really incredibly well done. It's like, you know, you kind of have to wonder, is Cena going to get one over on Luke? No, he's not.
Not tonight.
Not tonight, he's not.
Not tonight.
So yeah, this was fantastic. I'm really, really, really looking forward to this match at WrestleMania. Just to see, Bray Wyatt's trickery working?
Yes. And it'll be interesting to see what they do on Monday Night Raw next week on the go home.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Lee versus Naomi in apparently a non-title match. It wasn't a title match, though, when it really didn't get started. AJ walked out. He shouldn't need any of this. Took a belt. Ring announcer, your winner, Naomi, but still Divas Champion AJ Lee, which was confusing since it wasn't a title match. But either way. So, the big story of this was that Vicky Guerrero came out and said AJ made some, you know, uncalled for comments on SmackDown. I have a history. And, you know, she got her fired as GM and all that fun stuff. AJ stole Vicky's boyfriend. All that fun stuff. But Vicky said there's one thing that she does want to tell AJ Lee, that she's a real bitch.
Yep.
Which is why she's here to announce that at WrestleMania, AJ will compete in the Vicky Guerrero Divas Championship Invitational. Her opponents will be Naomi, Cameron, Brie Bella, Nikki Bella, recent guest of the rack, Natalya, Emma, Aksana, Summer Rae, Rosa Mendez, Layla, Kane Kiddens, favorite girl, Eva Marie.
You've been waiting to do that.
He just popped in the chat room too.
Yeah, so. I know I did.
And of course, Tamina.
Oh, and that did not get a nice response from AJ, and Tamina just stood there smirking, which was hilarious. Now, what's interesting about this is, like, I've seen two reactions so far.
Mm-hmm.
All the AJ Lee fans are, like, really pissed because it's like, oh my god, she's going to lose the title. Y'all, she's had the title for 281 days. I'm an AJ Lee fan. I love AJ, but she's literally fought all the credible people in that division twice at this point.
Yeah.
You need to take the belt off of her. It's time. Always sad, but it's time.
But you know why? It's because of her boyfriend left, so now they're taking the belt off of her.
That's not why.
Yeah, I know.
AJ isn't blamed for her boyfriend's actions. They're not going to pin that on her. She's had the belt, like I said, for almost 300 days.
By WrestleMania, it'll be 300 days. Or close to 300 days.
For a women's champion, for a Divas champion, that's impressive for her first title reign. She gets an almost 300-day title reign. That's pretty impressive, and that speaks very highly of her.
Now, what was the other side?
Everybody's really excited that Eva Marie is getting a title shot.
Including Kane Kiddens.
Including Kane Kiddens, yes. You know, it's something of, I think people are missing the big picture on both sides of this, which is WWE is doing everything they can to get pretty much their entire roster on WrestleMania 30.
Everyone is in WrestleMania.
Yeah, everybody is getting on this show, which they don't have to do this. But when was the last time you had basically a Divas, I don't know, Battle Royal on WrestleMania? Was it 25? It was 25, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I don't even know if this is a Battle Royal. This is something.
I don't know what to term it other than it's a massive, match where AJ's dropping the belt to somebody, but it's something of, for lack of a better term, I'm calling it a Battle Royal because that's the only thing I can justify it as in my head. But it's, when was the last time you had that many divas on WrestleMania? It would be 25, and they did, and it wasn't even for the title, it was for Miss WrestleMania.
And it was won by Santina.
Yes, it was won by Santina Marella in drag. Mm-hmm. So, this is really cool, the fact that they're having a Divas title match on WrestleMania 30. All the Divas are getting involved. Now, that being said, I think the majority of the Divas involved don't necessarily deserve a title shot because they haven't done much to earn a title shot. But the larger picture is they are trying to get everybody on the show, including the girls, and I have to applaud that. So, you know, look at the bigger picture, y'all. Yes, AJ is losing her title, but you know what? She's going to be there a long time. I'm sure she's going to have more than one reign.
And look at how many people are going to have to how many people it takes to actually beat AJ.
Exactly.
So take that to the bank.
Pretty much.
And it's Vicky Guerrero's revenge. It's a nice tie-in using Vicky.
Yeah, it's a very nice tie-in using Vicky.
Up next, we find out who's going into the WWE Hall of Fame. And it's... the bad guy, Reza Ramon.
I was honestly pleasantly surprised. I was actually not expecting them to do a seventh induction.
Well, then you stayed away from the internet all day because...
Yes, I have. I have actually been off the dirt sheets all day.
Because there was an advertisement that was leaked. It was in a paper or something where it had Razor Ramon's picture on it.
Oh, well. But I've been good. I've stayed away from the internet all day. But, yeah, it's... This is definitely deserved. He's due the honor, and... congratulations to him for kind of sort of having that redemption story. Now, it's interesting that he's going in as Razor Ramon and not Scott Hall, but you brought up a good point in our chat that, you know, you can always do the NWO later and put him in as Scott Hall later.
Correct. They're honoring Razor Ramon for his accomplishments, and because Razor Ramon is more synonymous with WrestleMania than anything else.
Yes. So, congratulations to Razor/Scott. Well done. Well deserved. And the story's kind of come, I guess, full circle where he's redeemed himself. He's gotten himself clean. He's healthy. He's happy as far as we know. And now he's going into the WWE Hall of Fame, which is something, honestly, I didn't think I'd ever see while he was still alive.
Correct. And
based on the path he was on.
And it just shows DDP has done a great, great job.
Yes, absolutely.
Main event time. The Shield. Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins versus the Real Americans. Good match.
Great match. The Shield were dominant as hell.
There was Dean took the swing. He was like, oh no.
He was dancing in the swing. Dean Ambrose, what are you?
A lunatic.
Apparently.
Then Rollins took out the hot tag and, well, just killed everyone. He dove through the ropes, knocking Cesaro into the first row. Then did the flip to the outside on Swagger. And then ended up pinning, I believe, Cesaro for the win, right? No, for Swagger. He face-planted Swagger for the victory. So, after the match, Cesaro attacks Rollins, Rain comes in and hits the Superman punch, and then a big spear on the outside, and then the Shield took over and triple powerbombed him through the table when Cesaro. The Shield once again looked strong. Then out came Kane and the Corporate Outlaws, and well,
in suits,
and well... Kane basically said, well, at WrestleMania, we have a match for you. It'll be a 6-man tag. The Shield versus Kane and the New Age Outlaws. Good stuff.
Very good stuff. They've been building to this. This should be a very good match. And we'll have to see where it goes. But yeah, the Shield were not in a good mood tonight. They showed their displeasure for what happened on SmackDown, and I like that one of the things WWE's doing, at least with the majority of their storylines, is that there are almost immediate consequences to things that are happening, or just there are consequences in general, or you're not having people just get away with things. and the people that are being harmed just kind of taking it. You have the Shield get pissed. They track down the people that beat them up, minus 3MB, because, you know, they were only there.
They were only there. They, you know, and that's why they only got the Battle Royal. They didn't get the title match.
Yeah, they didn't get the title match. They only did the Battle Royal. Mm-hmm. But they came out looking for Rybacksel. They got a match with the Real Americans. They were dominant. They beat the crap out of both teams. And they left them laying for dead, which is exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And the Shield looks strong. They look united. The fans are behind them. This is perfect. And now you have them going up against the Authority and Kane and the Outlaws. This should be good.
Oh, yeah. We then get to our actual main event segment, because it's time to eat, sleep, and break the streak. Out came Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. Heyman says that he is here representing his client, the Beast Incarnate Brock Lesnar, the Destroyer, the Conqueror. He stands here, you know, as the advocate. Heyman says Lesnar's opponent at WrestleMania holds one of the greatest accomplishments in history. His name is The Undertaker and has a record of 21-0. Heyman humbly submitted that it's not just a streak, but it's an undefeated streak, which is why on April 6, 2014, Brock Lesnar will defeat The Undertaker. This will take nothing away from, you know, the 21 consecutive victories on the grand stage, because no one else will ever come close. Not even Brock Lesnar himself will come close to beating the streak. Setting a 21-0 record, rather. Because, well, he won't be around to do 21 more matches. At this year's Mania, Heyman said one era will end and another will begin when Brock Lesnar breaks the streak. Heyman was continuing to talk, but Lesnar was done. Lesnar said he's not here to promote, but to fight. Undertaker, you're here. I'm here. Let's do this!
Yeah. Oh, Brock. Just stop giving Brock the mic. Just stop.
So, we all wait. We wait, and we wait. And then you don't hear the Undertaker's music. You hear the Druid music. As the Druids came out, smoke filled the arena, and they brought down a casket to the ring. Heyman was very concerned. Lesnar just stood there waiting and waiting. As the fog came in, they brought the casket slowly to the ring. Then, you know, he started to kick the lid a little bit, and well, then he started to move in a little bit. Finally gets close. Heyman was screaming, You're playing into his mind games. You're playing into his mind games. Basically. And then he lifts the lid and there's no one there. Paul Heyman was annoyed. Lesnar said, is this some kind of joke? He started going after the Druids, but they started walking up the ramp. He slammed the casket shut as the crowd wanted the Undertaker. Lesnar in a ring said, he's not here to play games. Heyman called this so typical, and then Lesnar shouted, he's leaving. Heyman said, this is the game the Undertaker wants to play, and then Taker said, Taker challenged Lesnar to show for a fight tonight in a slum like Brooklyn. Crowd booed Heyman after that, and all he does is deliver an empty casket. Then the casket opened, and you saw the Undertaker lie there. Brock didn't see him. He sits up, and all hell. Here we go. Both men were in the center of the ring. Heyman got out of the ring. Paul Heyman was scared. They start fighting. Taker starts hitting left and right to Brock Lesnar. Taker, you know, Irish whipped him and then clotheslined him out of the ring over the casket, which was a nice little bump as he rolled over the casket to Brock. And they stared down one another. Both men pointed at the sign, it's on at WrestleMania.
This is worth waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
This was really worth waiting for, because I'm literally sitting here tapping my foot the whole time going, God, when are we getting Taker? Because usually when they use Taker, especially when they had like Cena and the Wyatts and they had the Shield get a match, it's like they'll put Taker somewhere either at the top of the second or the top of the third. And it's like, it became pretty obvious Taker was closing the show. And I popped hard for the Druids, I'm not gonna lie. I love it when Taker plays mind games. I love it when he screws with people. And this is something that we haven't gotten in a couple years again, where it's he has the Druids with the casket come out, and you don't know what's going on, and you know Taker's coming out of the casket, but it's something of when Brock opened the casket and no one's there, you're like, all right, where is he? And the casket gets closed, and then when it opens again, there he is.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice way to play that. Nice way to do it. Brock and Heyman sold it perfectly. You had the two touch. They threw a couple punches. Taker came out on top, and the two had a very nice stare down. Where it's weird. This is something where we're getting, as you said, full on Undertaker. This is something we didn't get last year for obvious reasons, because he was not Taker last year. This year we're getting him. Full on, he's doing.
He wanted this, he got it, and he's delivering.
Yeah. And this is something that, it's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. You know, I still don't want to see the match, but it's something of they're doing such a fantastic job with the build. That it's like, yes, we're getting full on Taker. Now, if he didn't look like a deranged garden gnome, that would make me happy, but that's just me. But as far as how they're selling it, what they're doing with it, you're having Taker play mind games, you're having Taker show up, he's getting physical, which is something he hasn't done in the last couple years.
Mm-mm.
He never got physical before his match, because I think they were just worried about him. It's like, you can tell he's feeling better. You can look at him with the way he walks around the ring. He's feeling better. He's starting to move a little bit like his old self.
We should mention the fans were chanting, "Happy birthday, happy birthday."
Yeah. Yeah, we should also note and wish a very, very happy birthday to The Undertaker.
Since WWE didn't.
They're not going to publicly acknowledge. Well, they might have at the show. We don't know what they did after the cameras went off the air and after he left. But yeah, they got Taker there on his birthday. And had him work on his birthday, so I'm sure they're taking him out for, they took him out for dinner or something, or did something for him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was cool that Taker was there on his birthday. So it's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So a happy birthday to The Undertaker.
And the five other superstars they named on Raw. So yeah,
who we don't remember right now.
Who we don't remember at this point. But that was 3 hours of Raw. Another fun show. Another great WrestleMania build. That's all I gotta say. Great stuff.
I like that they used this week to set pretty much the undercard of the show. Everything is set. Everybody is pretty much getting on, which is great. And, you know, it's like, I'm excited for the go-home. I'm really excited to see what they do, because I expect people, i.e. Bray, i.e. Taker, to maybe get a little beat down. Cena and Brock maybe get the revenge a little bit on them heading into Mania. But it's something of, I like how, at least for Brock and Taker, they're really doing a good job putting the streak in question. It's like, Brock is the biggest threat Taker has had to date. Could Brock actually take the streak?
And we will find that out in 13 days. But this has been another edition of the Raw Post Show Live right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Thursday night, it is The Rack.
Yes, King Kittens, take her no suicide dive. No. Anyway, tune in for The Rack. No interview this week. I'm sorry, but we're taking a little bit of a break. That was a lot of interviews that we just did, so please tune into the show last week, in which we talked to artist extraordinaire Rob Schomburger, where he tells us all about how he's going to be working at WrestleMania this year. He's going to be putting up a display and hopefully doing some live painting at Access, so please go listen to that. This week we've got news, we've got notes, we've got discussions, we have NXT, we have Impact, just the normal status quo, but tune in, listen, and then next week We will be talking all about WrestleMania, all about WWE. It's going to be a really WWE-heavy show because, obviously, that is the show before Mania. So you're definitely not going to want to miss that.
You can go to RockRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Speaking of those two websites, check out the Rack Extra Total Divas Season 1 review that's up now, and the episode number 2 review will be up on Friday afternoon. Saturday night, midnight edition of CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual, Sunday night, WTR, Sunday night, Season 11, Episode 1, as Tim proclaimed it at the end of last night's show, kicks off as they will preview WrestleMania at 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow that show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio, Facebook.com/CigaretteButtsAndBandanas, and at CB Radio WTR on Twitter. At WTR the underscore rack and WTR the rack on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out WTRProductions.net. And coming soon, it's sort of up, but not fully, but WrestleTalkRadio.com has been launched. Lindsay?
Somebody just put out a picture of Cena at the sink with a white mask looking in the mirror. Mm-hmm. One of the captions is, "Hey, Cena, do you want to build a snowman?" I love the internet. I really do.
Nice. Nice.
Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. Under the Contact Us section of my website is a link to my Redbubble store. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to buy my artwork, because it is frequently featured on my Twitter, usually every Monday and Friday night, and sometimes Thursdays, you can buy it at my Redbubble store. Most of it is for sale, though some of the pieces they aren't. So check it out. If there's anything you like, please buy.
Her artwork has been featured on the thing that 11.1 something million people have downloaded called the WWE app.
Yes, I've had two pieces on there so far. Anyway, you can also, if you just want to view my artwork, check out my Behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitter, and all of it is available for your viewing pleasure, and there are links to the Redbubble store on my Behance as well. Also, please check out CastyRiley.net, and also check out this Wednesday, the Duck Dynasty season finale, as Cassidy Riley will be featured on the show, so you don't want to miss that. So
you know,
please check that out.
You know who's on the show with him?
Who?
Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Ho!
Just got better. Anyway, Duck Dynasty, check your local cable provider for time and channel. And I think that's it.
Thanks to PW Mania, MemlinPromo.com. She's Lindsay, I'm Rock. We're gone. See you next Monday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.